Well, if you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me. The New Testament book of Mark, chapter number 5. As we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, Mark chapter number 5. Begin reading in verse number 1. Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him." By the way, that means he bowed down and he acknowledged who he was. "And cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. And were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and that had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they saw it, and they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And I want to preach on how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Let's pray today. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Lord, I need you to help me in these next few moments. I pray that my mind would be clear. Lord, my words would be clear and guided by thee. I can't do this in my spirit, in my power, my ability. So I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to help me and to strengthen me. Work in the heart and lives of people in this place. Lord, I pray for that one that does not know thee as Savior. I pray that this would be the day that trusts thee. And I pray for those of us that have already trusted thee, that this would be a day where we commit ourselves fully to thy will. Lord, help us and hide me behind the cross. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. What an amazing story we have in the Bible. This is one of those stories that when you read it, you just don't throw it out, you know. You, of course, none in the Bible you do, but it's one that seems to stick with you. And you think about all that's going on. When we come to this place here in the book of Mark chapter number 5, if you were to go back to chapter number 4, you're going to see that the Lord Jesus has just calmed a raging sea. And the Bible teaches us in chapter number 4 and verse number 41, they say this, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So we find out that he's the master of the sea, amen? And we're glad of that. But we see in this story that not only is he the master of the sea, he's the master of all. And when we look at this, we see that he arrives after calming the raging sea. He arrives now by way of this sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And immediately as he, upon his arrival, there's a man that comes running to him from the tombs. And this is a man that has an unclean spirit within him. And the Bible says in verse number 3, the Bible says, who had this dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. So here's a man that they've tried to bind, no doubt, many times. This is a wild man. This is a maniac man. This is a man that is filled up with the devil, and they've tried to bind him with chains. They tried to bind him with fetters. They tried to bind him with ropes. And every time they bind him, he literally rips these things apart. He has been bound by the world, and he's been bound by so many other things that they can't bind him with things like chains and like fetters. The Bible says in verse number 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him and fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. There was nothing they could do. There's no doubt. I would say the people of his family have tried to change his life. They've done everything. You know, there's a great possibility many of them have been injured in trying to get a hold of this man and try to put him to where they could at least even be around him. But now he's not even able to live in a house. He lives out in the tombs. He lives out in the countryside. He roams the hills, and he's known as the maniac. He's known as the madman. And every time they would try to do these things, they try to bind him and hold him with these fetters and chains, he'd just rip them asunder, the Bible says. They try to tame him, and he'd flee. The mountains and the tombs, what a place to live. Think about it. He would cut himself with stones, the Bible says. He would take and mutilate his body. And by the way, if you go read the Bible, you're going to find that the mutilation of the body has always been demonic. People don't understand that getting things like tattoos and stuff, it really has a demonic sense about that, you know. And people are ignorant about these things concerning that. And if you have a tattoo, it doesn't mean that you're demonic. It just comes from these things, people marking their bodies and mutilating their bodies. There was no man that had any hope. Here's a man that everybody had given up on the maniac. They just left him to himself. They left him out in the countryside, and there was absolutely nothing that anybody could do. I imagine his family would have said, well, we'll just not go see him anymore. The men of the city said, there's nothing that anybody can do for him. The government of the town would say, you know, maybe if we'll just leave him alone, he won't hurt anybody else and just harm himself. Everybody said, there is absolutely no hope for this man. But then Jesus came. And I want to tell you something. When Jesus shows up, the hope has shown up. Amen? Jesus comes, and we see that not only was he the master of the sea, but he is the master of all. And when Jesus gets through with him, what a change has been made in his life. And I want you to understand today that when Jesus gets a hold of your life and you give your heart and your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is a change in your life and you are a brand new creature. And that's what happened here. Here's this man that everybody said, there's no hope. There's nothing that can bind him. There's nothing that can tame him. There's nothing that anybody can do. But here comes the master of all. And he does a work in his life that changes him forever. Now I want you to look at this man very quickly. And I want you to see him. Go with me to verse number 15. And we could talk about all these other verses, but because of time, I want to go right to this. I want you to see that here's a man that's been roaming the hillsides wildly and crazily and uncontrollably. But we find him now sitting. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 15. And they come to Jesus and see him, the maniac, that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting. I like that. See, Luke, if you go read this story in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 8, verse 35, the Bible says that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's what happens when you trust the Lord. That's what happens when you have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that he is seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. From running wild and restless to the rest that only God can give. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, and what a beautiful verse of Scripture. There's 9 times the word rest is given to us here. And it's talking about this creation rest that God had when God rested on the 7th day. God provides a rest for His people. The Bible says in verse number 9 of Hebrews chapter 4, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Here's a man that met the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a man that was absolutely restless. He was running wild, but now we find him seated at the feet of Jesus. We find what the Lord can do with a person's life when he comes in contact with them. Today you may be thinking of somebody that you think that there is absolutely no hope for. You may think that they're too far gone, that they're too far sucked into sin, that their life is just too far on this other side. They have cursed God, they have denied God, they have pushed God away. And you begin to think there's no hope for him. But dear friends, if you can get him to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's hope. How do you get him to the Lord? You live for Christ. You love Christ. You lead him to Christ. That's how you do it. Here's a man that came running to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gets off the boat and this man comes running and he bows and worships him and acknowledges who the Lord Jesus is. Now we find him sitting. And the Bible teaches us he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. There's no greater place to be than at the feet of Jesus. And as Christians, do you know we can be there? We can sit at His feet and rest in His presence. God has a rest for His people. And dear friends, we can have that place. We see that He is sitting. The second thing I want you to notice there in verse number 15, the Bible says that He was sitting and clothed. So not only is He sitting, He's now suited. He has a suit of clothes on Him. He's no longer naked because Luke tells us that he wear no clothes. So here's a man running the hillside with no clothes on. His body's mutilated. It's ripped apart. He's been chained. He's cut himself. He's torn himself asunder. No doubt there's all kinds of things that was going on in his life, and his body was putrid to look at simply because of what these demonic beasts had done in his life. But now we see that he's clothed. No doubt modesty and shame are dealt with here. We could talk about that. When people get saved, they ought to dress right. Amen. I'm not going to get into all that. But more importantly, we're clothed with something greater than just the clothing. I want you to, you can look with me here in the book of Galatians chapter number 5. The Bible teaches us some things here. But in Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 19, the Bible says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." And it gives us these works: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This was your clothing before you were saved. These things were part of your life. You remember what the Bible says when it gives us a list there in Corinthians? And it says, "And such were some of you. But now ye are washed. Now ye are justified. Now ye are sanctified through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now let's see what happens. Let's see the clothing that believers have. Notice what the Bible says in verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." When somebody trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what they're clothed with? Love and joy and peace and temperance and long-suffering and patience. That's what happens when you trust Christ, when Christ comes into your life. When you meet the Lord, this man is now seated. And now he's suited. Now back in our text, chapter 5, verse 15, I want you to see thirdly, he is settled. He's settled. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says that he is sitting and clothed and in his right mind. He was out of his mind before, wasn't he? You know? I mean, Satan had control of his life. He was out of his mind, but now he is sitting, he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. And this is what Paul says about the mind we have when we trust the Lord. The Bible says, "For God hath not given unto us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Here's a man that was known as a maniac. Here's a man who said this man has no mind whatsoever. He's out of control. He cannot think for himself. But now we find that he's in his right mind. And it all happened since Jesus came. Today there's so many people that you may not be running the hillsides. You may not be crazy and out of control in the sense of what people are saying out of control is. But if you're lost, you're headed to the same hell that this maniac was headed to. You're controlled by the same devil this maniac was controlled by. There's only two you can serve. You can serve the Savior or Satan. Dear friends, you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. You may say, "Well, I'm not so bad. I'm not so wicked. I'm not so ungodly." Well, we could go and give you stories about a man named Nicodemus who was a ruler of the Jews, a very religious man. And he was a good man and a godly man. Well, we could talk about Paul who did a lot of bad things, but he thought he was following after God and he was following the law to the letter. But they had to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about good or bad. It's about being a sinner and Christ being the Savior. And you trust in Christ. The thing is that Nicodemus was being ruled by the same one the maniac was being ruled by. Because it's the Lord or the devil. Do you understand? See, we see now that this man is settled. His life has been changed since Jesus came to him. Not only do we see that he is seated and suited and settled, I want you to see that he's also surrendered. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 16. "And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him," talking about the Lord, to depart out of their coast. They wanted Jesus to leave. Notice what the Bible says. "And when he," talking about Jesus, "when he was come into the ship, he," the former maniac that had been possessed with the devil, "prayed him that he," the maniac, "might be with him," Jesus. So it says here that when Jesus was come into the ship, the former maniac, been possessed with the devil, prayed that the former maniac might be with Jesus. "Howbeit," verse 19, "Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home." That's so very important. You ought to circle that word home. When you come in contact, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing you ought to do is go home and tell your family about it. "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel." Here's a man that is now a follower of the Lord. Here's a man that has now come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to take some notes from this man, because the greatest thing that we can do as a Christian is surrender our life to the will of God. To give our life to doing God's will. And our plans may be different than his, but his plans are always right. The way God leads sometimes don't always seem to make sense to us. But God's leading is always great leading. God always leads us in the right directions. And so many times we think we know what's best, but God always knows what's best. Here's a man that's surrendered to the Lord because he does what the Lord tells him to do. And then here's a man that's a soul winner. How do you know this? Look at what the Bible says in verse number 20. "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel." You know what he did? He went and said, "Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And he began to use his testimony to tell his town about the Lord. Now I want you to turn with me just a couple of pages to chapter number 7. Verse 31. The Bible says, "And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of" where? Decapolis. Where was he just a little while ago? In Decapolis. What did they want him to do? Get out of town. Right? Let's read. "And they," talk about the people of Decapolis, "bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." In chapter number 5, these are the people that wanted Christ to depart. In chapter number 5, when their commerce had been hurt, you know, it's all about the pocketbook. It's all about what we have in our banks. It's not about the person that we have living in our life. It's about how much money we have in the banks, how much money we can have. It's all about material possessions. It's all about this, all about that. But they realized that something had happened, and when Jesus Christ healed this man and commanded these legions to depart, they began to realize that greater than that herd of swine was the power of a changed life. Because this man began to do some things. This man began to tell people about Jesus. He began to publish in Decapolis the great things that the Lord had done for him. And he becomes a soul winner. He becomes somebody that cannot help. This man that was a maniac obeyed the Lord, and now Jesus goes back to this place, to this man's hometown. And instead of people saying, "We don't want you here," you remember they was running him out on a rail before. Now they say, "Here comes Jesus. Hey, let's go get the deaf man. Let's go get the dumb man. Let's go get the blind man. Let's go get somebody and bring him to Jesus. He's done it before, and he can do it again. He's changed a life before, and he can change a life again." Dear friends, if we can get people to Jesus, he can take their life and change them and make them a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can do something that nobody else can. He can do something you can't do, I can't do, the church can't do, only Christ can do. Now Jesus comes back, and man, they're so excited. And notice what they said in verse 37. This is great. They told him before, get out of town. But now they said, he hath done all things well. Seems like that herd of swines faded way into the past now, hadn't it? All they see is the power of this man's life that's been changed. This maniac who was hopeless and helpless until Jesus came. And they said, this man doth all. Well, what a Savior we have. What happened? This man, this maniac that wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus said, I have something for you to do here. He said, I want you to stay here. I want you to go back to your home. Tell your friends what I've done for you. And this man said, I got to tell everybody. And by the time Jesus came back into Decapolis, these folks were convinced that Jesus was the real deal. He was the true Savior. He was the one that had the power. He was the one that could change lives. And dear friends, this man won many souls to the Lord. No doubt, in heaven, there's going to be people there that's a result of this man obeying the Lord and going back to his home and telling what great things that God had done for him. Now, to close, you may not be considered a maniac today. You might be considered a maniac. I heard some laughter. But some of you are pretty crazy, I know. Some we've tried to bind, but we've not succeeded. But if Christ is not your Savior, then please understand. It's not about running the hillsides naked and
been the madman, if Christ is not your Savior, then Satan is the Lord of your life. And there's a place that Satan is desiring to take you to. But Jesus came to us, and He died on the cross, shed His precious blood, and then He said, whosoever will may come. You're not going to go to heaven because you come into this church, and you're not going to go to heaven because you get baptized, and you're not going to go to heaven because you're good. You're going to go to heaven because you trust the finished work of Calvary. You put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. That's the only way to heaven. There's no other way but through Jesus. So today, realize how much Jesus loves you and that He died on the cross for your sins. And by faith, if you'll receive Christ into your life, you know what He'll do? He'll save you. And He'll make you a new creature. He'll do some things in your life. You can sit at His feet. You can be suited and settled and learn to surrender yourself and tell others and be a soul winner. Tell others about Jesus. If you are saved, you're saved from the same hell that this demon-possessed man was saved from. And because of that, maybe we should take some notes from this man. And we should ask ourselves, are we sitting at the feet of Jesus? Are we suited with the fruit of the Spirit? Are we settled in our faith in Christ? Are we surrendered to the Lord? And are we soul winners? We don't save any soul, but we win souls by telling them about Jesus, and Jesus will save them. It's not our responsibility to save, it is our responsibility to tell and to give the gospel. That's what this man did. Here's a maniac. Nothing anybody can do for him. He's crazy. He's out of control. But boy, when Jesus came, it changed his life, didn't it? When Jesus came into my life, it changed my life. I was 18, trusting by grace through faith. I don't deserve anything that I have today, but dear friends, He has been so good to me. Not only do I not deserve what I have now, there's something greater. I get to go to heaven. I get to be with Him forever. And guess what? I've got a wife that knows Jesus. I've got a daughter that knows Jesus. And I have a son that knows Jesus. Now, I don't understand all the relationships of heaven. I don't get it all. But I know I'm going to be there with them. I'll never be separated from them again. A couple years, one may be leaving for college, and then 4 years later, another may be leaving for college. I don't know if they'll ever be back in our home again. I don't know. But I'm looking forward to a time when I'll never have to say goodbye to anybody anymore. It's going to be a great day, and it all happened because Jesus came and changed my life. And if you're saved, it's because Jesus came and changed your life. Do you know Him? Let's bow our heads this morning, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In just a moment, the pianist's going to begin to play, and as she begins to play, I want you to consider, what's my relationship with the Lord? You can be here today and be a good person, but if you've never trusted Christ by faith, I want you to know that you're headed to the same hell that somebody that's absolutely filled up with the devil is headed to. But God did not prepare that hell for you. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. But because of sin, that sin separates us from God. Because by one man sin entered into the world and death came upon all, for that all have sinned. Also by one man, Jesus Christ, your sins can be forgiven. And you can be made righteous through His precious blood. Today, would you come and trust Him? Maybe you're here today and you say, I know I'm saved. I know that heaven's going to be my home. There's no doubt about it. But I need to go to the next step in my life. I'm seated at the feet of Jesus. It's a great place to be. But I need to be suited with the fruit of the Spirit. I need to get settled about some things in my life.
Well, I need to settle about God's direction. Now, I want to be settled about what God has for me. I'm tired of finding the balance. I just want to be settled about what God has for me, and I want to do it. Then I want to be surrendered. Whatever it is, I want to do it. And then, dear friends, through all that, people's going to see that life, and it'll open up doors of opportunity for you to be a witness. But it all begins by coming to Jesus Christ and trusting Him by faith. How many would say here today, "Preacher, I'm saved. Heaven's going to be my home. I'm not perfect, but I know I've trusted the perfect Savior, and I have peace and assurance that I'm on my way to heaven." Would you lift your hand as a testimony right now? "I'm not perfect, but I've trusted Christ." God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. There's those here that did not raise their hand right then. Right now, do you understand that Satan wants to destroy your life and take your soul to a devil's hell, to be there for all eternity? But Jesus came and paid the price so that you wouldn't have to go there. Right now, would you say, "Preacher, I didn't lift my hand just a moment ago, but I'm going to tell you, I need your prayers. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. And I need your prayers. I know I don't want to die and go to that terrible place called hell. I believe Jesus loves me, but I've never trusted Him by faith. Pray for me, preacher. I don't have the assurance that I ought to have today." Would you lift your hand, preacher? That's me. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Will there be one this morning? Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. Pray for me. There's no in-between, folks. You're either saved or you're not. How many would say, "Preacher, saved, on my way to heaven, but God's dealing with me. I need to take the next step. God is dealing specifically with me. What God did for this maniac is an amazing thing. And I want God to work in my life the same way that He worked in this man's life. I want God to do something great in my life. And I want to be where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to be doing. And God's dealing with me right now about some specific things. And preacher, I want you to pray with me about this. Would you lift your hand? I'm saved, but God's speaking to me. God bless you. And God bless you. Would there be others? God's dealing with me specifically about the next step I need to take in my life. Pray for me. Would there be another one? God bless you. And God bless you. And God bless you. Thank you. Several hands. Would there be another one this morning? Pray for me, preacher. How many of us just needs to come and say, "I feel like I know, but I just need to fully surrender. Maybe I'm surrendered, but I need to be better at soul winning, at telling others about Jesus." If that's you, maybe you need to come. Father, please have your way. Lord, you've seen not only the hands, but you know the hearts of everybody here. And I pray that the Spirit of God would move these that need to come. I pray for those that are here that could not raise their hand that they were saved, nor did they raise their hand that they were lost. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would do something mighty and help them to see that they need Jesus. Would help them to understand that the end of their life is hell without Christ. And I pray that today they would come and trust Christ by faith. Lord, have your way with these that have raised their hands about the direction. Give them the courage to make themselves accountable to your working in their life. We'll thank you and praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's quietly stand to our feet this morning.